In the name of the one true and living God. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. This morning, we are told that Jesus went to the house of a leader of the Pharisees, where he had been invited for a meal. We know from the Gospels that Jesus and some of the Pharisees were often at odds. By now, in Luke's account, the Pharisees were adding to their case against Jesus. They scrutinized every word and every act. And Jesus, while acknowledging their authority as teachers of the law of Moses and the prophets, often chided them. He chided them for failing to live by those same laws. You see, they knew the law, they just weren't living it. Instead of living what they taught and preached, many of them were caught up in power and prestige. Still, today Jesus accepted the invitation for a Sabbath meal, for it was customary to invite the visiting preacher. So at the meal, Jesus observed how the guests chose the places of honor. They seemed to be vying for the choice positions. And so Jesus, being Jesus, uses this opportunity to teach a lesson about humility. He began, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor. Someone more important than you may have been invited." So there you are. You're all nice and comfy and cozy, getting your eat on. And the next thing you know, you've been called out. And you may be asked to move down, way down the line. When you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place. So then when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move on up a little higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. Now, Jesus isn't trying to be Emily Post or Miss Manners here, for there is more to the point of this story than table manners. You see, since the beginning of humankind, we humans are quick to be, well, human. We are quick to act in our own self-interest. It's no secret that we live in an age of me, myself, and I, and me first. Some folks have no problem putting their every move out there on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, and Facebook. They even have to post what they had for dinner, for lunch, for breakfast. Who cares? So humility seems to have taken a back seat from our vocabulary as well as from our actions. Much like in Jesus' time, the want of attention, power, and prestige is in the forefront of our minds, our society, our systems, and yes, we even find it in the church. But Jesus says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And if you don't know what the definition of humility is, or what it means to be humbled, it means that we are unpretentious in all that we say and do. Because you see, everything is not always about us. It's not always about our wants and our needs and what we think people may owe us because of who we are, or who we know, or what we do. Now, there is such a thing as healthy pride, but we are not to fall into the potential trappings of things or titles or simply being out there to show off. But you and I are to be about the other person, for the sake of the kingdom, so that it is obvious, without our even saying it, that we are trying to follow the example of Jesus. You see, Jesus did not just talk about humility. Humility was central to who he was. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. He held conversations with women when the men would just walk away. He touched lepers. He showed compassion to outcasts. And ultimately, he humbled himself, as Paul said, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Thomas Merton, a well-known 20th century writer, social activist, and Trappist monk, once wrote, "In order to find God in ourselves, we must stop looking at ourselves, stop checking and verifying ourselves in the mirror of our own futility, and be content to be in Him and to do whatever He wills according to our limitations, judging our acts not in the light of our own illusions, but in the light of His reality, which is all around us in the things and people we live with." Unlike the Pharisees, we ought not to live our lives seeking to be sought out by the paparazzi. It's not about being seen, but seeing how we can be of service to our brothers and sisters, seeing that person, neighbor, or stranger as a child of God, as someone worthy of my time, of your time, of treating the other person with dignity and respect. You and I are to be about living lives of humble service, seeing that needs are met without the expectation of being paid back, blessing others as we are blessed. The message that Jesus imparts in today's gospel is not finished, however, for Jesus also makes it clear who should be invited to the banquet, to any opportunity that folks gather together. He makes it clear that we are to include everybody, the least, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. We are to extend genuine hospitality not to some, but to all. So this begs us as individuals and as a church to ask ourselves these questions. How well do we welcome the stranger in our midst, the physically and mentally challenged, those who do not wear designer clothes or live in our neighborhoods, those who do not have a place to call home, And what about drug and alcohol abusers, gays and lesbians, bisexual and transgendered persons? What about other nationalities and those who speak other languages? What about those who are less educated? The immigrant, the refugee. Are we doing everything we can to encourage one another, especially our youth and young adults? Are we willing to welcome them and honor all at this table, the Lord's table, and in every aspect of our daily lives? In other words, do all lives matter? Is everybody welcome? I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that you and I live this. We will be held accountable. And it's interesting because yesterday this room was packed to the gills. And it was wonderful. And we saw people who we hadn't seen ever before or in a long while. And some even made promises to come back. I'm not mentioning any names, but it's good to see somebody in this room. And those who have not been here for a while, welcome home. But the important thing is how we live our lives once we leave this room, this parking lot. How are we living the best lives we can? Let mutual love continue, the author of the reading of Hebrews begins. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Finally, I think Mother Teresa of Calcutta summed it up for us well as she quoted sacred scripture. She wrote, in Revelations, John saw before him a huge crowd which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. Together they cried, hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power be unto the Lord our God. At the end of our lives, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we have received, how much money we have made, or how many great things we have done. We will be judged by, I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was homeless, and you took me in. Hungry, not only for bread, but hungry for love. Naked, not only for clothing, but naked of human dignity and respect. Homeless, not only for want of a room of bricks, but homeless because of rejection. This is Christ in distressing disguise. Mother Teresa. This is a message and a gospel to you, myself included, to wrap ourselves in humility, to reach out, to put on the mantle of inclusion. For you see, It's not a bad way to be like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.